Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I thought I would come prepared this morning for every eventuality. If we get past the first 5 minutes, then you've had your money's worth and you can go home for your lunch. I could probably go home right now because everything that I hope to bring to you this morning, Holy Spirit has already brought to the house in various forms. He's brought it in a word. He's brought it in an encouragement. But I believe, church, that as we come around the word, that the atmosphere is continuing to change. The Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. For this is the house of the Lord. It's not about the building, it's about you and me. It's about His children. And He's promised that where we gather together in His name, He will be right there in the midst of us. And I'm not sure about you, but I'm going home today encouraged. Yes. That He is drawn close to me. Yeah. Stick with me. I said a few weeks ago for another couple of minutes. Well, perhaps another few more than a couple of minutes by God's will. But I want to invite you, church, that I believe the Holy Spirit has given us a prescription this morning. And that this sermon, this word will come to you with a spiritual health warning. That should you and I, this house, follow the prescription, there is a risk that it could seriously have a positive effect on our relationship, on your relationship with God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now I want to encourage you right now, church, that we would position ourselves, that we would prepare ourselves further in this atmosphere. I tell you, there is a weightiness of the presence of God in the house today. There has been a shift. There's been a shift since we started to worship Him. He inhabits the praises of His people. I want to encourage you, as you sit where you are, and for the next few seconds, whether in English or whether in tongues, that you invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to challenge you, to prompt you. And anything that is not of God, may it fall to the floor as dust and be blown away. But everything that is of Him, may it penetrate our spirits and change us, that we may become more effective for the kingdom of God here in Larbert and beyond. And Father, we invite Your presence. We invite Your Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. And we say, Father, would You become our greatest delight and Your word our greatest treasure. And to You be all the glory in everything that has been said and done in this house today. Jesus be exalted. May Your renown be made known. For Your sake and in Your name. And the people of God said, amen and amen. John chapter 14 and verse 21 and 23 says this. The one who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love them and show Myself to them. And anyone who loves Me will obey My teaching. My Father will love them, and we will make our home with them. Hallelujah. We will make our home with them. And I said to you a couple of weeks ago that I had one key objective, and that key objective is the same one, is to stop you from believing that anything else in this world will bring you greater pleasure than knowing God intimately. And that you and I will become so convinced of that, that we will pursue intimacy with Him more than anything else in the world. Because I know that some of us here today are hurting. We're in pain. We've heard about it already from Diane. Our own family is going through some pain this morning. When your son is hundreds of miles away and you just want to wrap him in your arms, he needs a touch from God. Amen? And some of us are going through tough times, and right now your greatest desire is just to get rid of the pain. But I want you to open your mind this morning to the possibility that a relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God, could be far better than even getting rid of the pain. Yeah. And some of us are here in this place of worship with this large crowd, and we have so many problems and issues of the week. And your desire is just to get your problems fixed. I've just got to get this straight, and I need to deal and get with these things in order in my life. And I want to implore you this morning to be open to the possibility that a deeper and more intimate relationship with God can be far better than even getting the issues of your life fixed. Yes. Yes. For some of us here today, we are ridden with temptation. And the habits, and there's stuff that's going on in our lives. Now, this is church, so let's be honest. I'm not asking for a show of hands. I just know it in my spirit to be true. There are some of us that are overwhelmed with temptation, and we're involved in things that, although we know that it's not God's best for our lives, we just feel that we have to have it. And I'm asking you this morning to consider the possibility that intimacy with God will bring you more pleasure than that sin that you're involved in right now. And I know right now you can't see it, but I pray that as our time goes on together, that Holy Spirit will reveal to you, because He's in charge of this message. And we know, church, do we not, that a couple of weeks ago, the enemy did not want this particular message to be brought to us, because he knows that when the children of God get closer to their God, get closer to their Father, and seek wholeheartedly after them, that he has to flee. That he has to get out of the way. I believe that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us some incredible truths that will become a reality, and ultimately change the course of our destiny forever. You can believe me, church, when I say that intimacy with God is the greatest privilege that Christians get to experience here on earth. And right now you may be thinking, well, how can a relationship help me with my issues? How can it help me get my problems sorted out? How can it get me fixed up? Church, a good, a healthy, an intimate relationship with God changes everything. When I think about my relationship with my wife, I would rather be in Scotland facing all the things that we're facing with her than be in the French Riviera sunning myself with my Speedos on without her. And it's like this, I'd rather be going through what I'm going through and dealing with what I'm dealing with Jesus, with God, with Holy Spirit in my life, than have all the wealth and easiness of life without Him. And you see, there's something about this relationship that grips you, and you say, I'd rather be with Him, I'd rather be close to Him, I'd rather be intimate with God than without Him. Nothing else matters to me, nothing else counts than knowing Jesus intimately, than knowing the Father closely. You know, I think sometimes, if we're being honest, we forget just how good we've got it. We forget how good we've got it in life. We're programmed, are we not, in this society in which we live, to focus on things that we don't have. And the emphasis is to bring our attention on everything that we do not have. Every time we turn on our televisions, our adverts are programming us to look at what we don't have. And to encourage us to go out and get it at all costs. And it's true to say that if we just at times do not appreciate just how good you and I, child of God, have got it in life. I remember being with a group of friends. I use the term loosely. But I was with a group of friends, and this happened on more than one occasion, that when I introduced them to my wife, whether they were business colleagues or members of the congregation, and they looked at her, and then they looked at me, then they looked at her again and went, "How did you manage to get something as good as that? Come on, guys. How did you manage to get a beauty like that? Look at you." And when the children came along, and folks would say, "Oh, they are absolutely beautiful. They're gorgeous. They obviously take after their mother." And I'll be honest, it took me a little while to take that on board, to fully realize just how good I had it and have it. And by God's grace, I still have it after 31 years of married life. I reminded her of that this week. I sent her a wee text message to say, "I've got it really good with you." Come on. I'm not going into what I did wrong, but I sent her a wee text message to say, "I know that I've got it really good." It was something about wiping out the bank account, but something like that. I've got it really good. And I guess what I'm hoping, as this message unfolds, what we'll do for you is that you'll realize just how good you've got it, church. Because when I look at God, and when I look at how awesome He is, and then I look at you, and I look at God and see how incredible, how marvelous He is, and then I look at you, and I say, "Are you guys really together? Really?" And I look at myself and all the stuff that I've done and the mistakes that I've made and the failures and the disappointments, the failures, and I think, to think that I am matched with this holy, awesome, incredible, magnificent, wonderful, phenomenal God. He calls me His friend. He calls me His son. He calls me His bride. Get over it, guys. That's what we are. We are the bride of Christ. He calls me His disciple. He calls me His favored one. Hallelujah. You look at yourself and you look at God and you just go, "Wow. How does that really go together?" And sometimes we look at what we don't have, but we ought to realize that you and I, as a children of God, we've got everything. We've got absolutely everything. We have friendship with God. We have intimacy with God. He is mine and I am His. And the Bible says, "I am my beloved's and He is mine, and His banner over me is love." If it's only God and my wife that love me in this house this morning, I am a blessed man. If truth be told, church, if only God loved me in this place today, I am more than blessed. And hey, look, I know we've got problems and I know we've got obstacles and there's stuff going on right now, but think about it. You are God's and He is yours. And perhaps I'm encouraging you to think about it again, or perhaps even for the first time, that it is just possible for you to belong to God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I can turn to the wall and get a bit more expression if you want. You are His church. Come on. Take a moment to remember just how good you've got it. Because you've got it really good. And can you believe, church, that there are actually some Christians, some friends of Jesus, some modern day disciples who only have and seem to prefer to have a theological or a theoretical interaction or experience of God? How sad is that? And I believe for this to be true for each of us, that in order for you and I to become stronger, we've got to become closer. For you and I to become stronger, we've got to come closer. There has to be a shift in our geographical position, of our stance that we take. We can no longer be left the same. I believe with all my heart that every one of us, it's the possibility that you and I can leave this place today and never be the same again for having met with the presence of God in this house today. Knock, knock. Knock, knock. Knock, knock. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "It's me. It's me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody hears my voice and answers and lets me in, I'll come in and I'll sit with him and I'll sup with him and he with me and I will be with him." Did you notice, church, that the response to the knock knocks got a little bit quieter? Isn't that true? Sometimes in our situation, that we are responsive at the beginning, but as time goes on, we can waver in our response to God, and very often we don't even hear the knock. You know, at home, we've recently missed so many callers and so many visitors. Some you might want to miss, but some you don't. But we've missed so many callers and so many visitors, and they've been at the front door. We've missed parcels. We've missed envelopes that we've been expecting. They've had to be redelivered, and they've been bashed, and they've had to get sent back, mainly because we removed the bell because of the old wiring, and we didn't want the house to burn down. I'm telling you the truth. It's true. The electrician fitted a new fuse in the new fuse box, and there was a funny smell, and it wasn't me making the potatoes for the mince. The bell was literally going on fire, so we had to disconnect it. But as a result, we have missed opportunities for fellowship with friends. We have missed parcels that we have been expecting, things that we've been looking forward to. We have missed them. As we read these verses, church, we ought to remember that these are the words of the Lord Jesus himself speaking to the church. He's speaking to the church. These words are written to Christians. These folks are written to folks who have the privilege of intimacy with him. And he says, "I'm here. Hello. I'm knocking." Ouch. And that verse suggests to us that, and it might be slightly irreverent, that you've got Jesus leaning down, looking through the letterbox, saying, "Hello, friend, son, daughter, prince, princess, heir of heaven. Come on. I'm here. If you'll let me in, if you let me closer, I'll come in and we can enjoy each other's company." Yes. And too often, church, it's just possible that although we are his, although he calls us his friends, although we're expecting him, we are happy to keep Jesus on the wrong side of the door. Now remember, filter that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're feeling anything else, rebuke it. Tell it to go back to where it came from. Because the Holy Spirit's trying to encourage you not to leave Jesus the wrong side of the door. That's the point. It's not accusatory. It's encouraging us to open the door and let him in, because he's got so much more for you. Anybody else want more of God than you've got right now? Whew. Yep. Smith hands, all four hands, come on, Elizabeth, get them up. We're satisfied with having a through the door relationship with the one that we see is our Savior. He's our Master. He is our Lord. He is our King of Kings. and we keep them outside. And as a result, we miss out on the incredible opportunity to enjoy his presence. Oh boy, why? Why?
I thought it was quite cool to get one similar to the worship team. Maybe today, church, in order for you to get stronger, you've got to get closer by opening the door, by letting him in, and by starting a fresh conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. But not through the letterbox. You know, it's just possible that this morning you've started out well and you've been developing your relationship with God, but then legitimate stuff, and trust me, we've experienced it ourselves, family come along, business thrives and grows, there are other legitimate pressures that come in our life, and you become a little bit less focused on your relationship with God. It happens, it's the truth. Remember, there's no condemnation, this is instruction and encouragement. It happens to us all. Isn't that right, pastors? Lauren Cunningham is one of the most successful leaders of global Christian organizations in the world. He's the founder of YWAM. And way back at the beginning, he had just managed to secure a new ship for the mission, and it was such an amazing excitement and asset towards the mission. And one night, not long after he'd got the ship, he had a dream in which he saw the ship. And in the background, he saw God. And at the beginning of the dream, he was able to shift his vision from the ship to God quite easily. And the ship was in focus and God was slightly out of focus. And then he could switch it back that God was in focus and the ship was out. But as the dream went on, he found that it was harder to focus on God and that the ship was the big thing. It was the big picture. And God said to him in his dream, "Do you want the ship or do you want me? Do you want the ship or do you want me?" Wow. Do you want success, church, or do you want me? Do you want ministry, or do you want me? Do you want a husband? Do you want a wife? Do you want a family? Do you want a big house? Do you want a big job? Or do you want me? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open it, I'll come in, and I'll stay with you. You know what I've discovered, church, over quite a number of years of developing intimacy with God and not always getting it right. What you say to God and how we respond can determine the course and the outcome of your destiny here on earth. And Jesus says to the church at Ephesus, you've lost your first love. You've got to get back to your first love. And the question comes to me, and it comes to many of us, perhaps all of us here in the room this morning, do we need to get back to our first love this morning in order that we can become stronger and ultimately more effective for kingdom purposes here for such a time as this? Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, Pastor Stephen spoke to us about putting an estimated value on our relationship with Jesus. How high a value do we put on intimacy with God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit? Can I ask you, church, do you have a taste for the majesty of God? Yes. Do you have a taste for the majesty of God? When we're in an atmosphere like we've been in this morning, oh, it's like, it's the finest of fruit and the best of fare that the psalmist speaks about. We're not eating breadcrumbs in here, church. We're tasting of fresh
fruit and fresh bread from the table of heaven. We've been given a word straight into our spirits this morning from heaven. You can leave here encouraged that your Father is interested in you. I asked myself this question a few weeks ago, and I've asked it again in the last couple of days. What would my life be like if Jesus was to walk away? It's bad enough missing the postman. It's bad enough missing the delivery man. It's bad enough even missing some visitors. But to miss Jesus, it beggars belief. There are some of us in here today that the very thought of being without his presence just fills us with... Because we love his presence, do we not? Or have we just sung about it for the time? We love his presence. Can I tell you, Jesus is knocking at your door this morning. How will we respond? Let me encourage you, church, by telling you that the minute you answer the door and let him in, we will begin to experience his presence immediately. And immediately, the atmosphere changes. It's tangible. He is conspicuous to us. You ever had visitors arrive at your door, and the minute they walk in, you know whether it's going to be a good visit or a bad visit? Yeah, I'm looking at the front couple of rows. But when Jesus comes in and you welcome him in, the atmosphere changes and you are undone. You are unraveled. He reveals things about himself, and in his presence, we change. We change. You know, he's deeper than we know, Chuck. The treasures that he makes available to you in his presence are greater than you've known to date in your life. But you say, he's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's the lover of my soul. Church, he wants you to know him even deeper than that. And when we give our hearts 100% to him and we go for it, when we say yes and we mean it, he'll draw us closer into his presence. And you know the first thing that he'll do? He will start to deal with the things that are going on in your life that limit, that restrict your enjoyment of the presence of him in your life. So the things that you're trying to sort out, he sorts it out when you're in his presence. I don't know about you, but I get a wee bit excited about stuff like this. The fire is going on in here, and you are not using that to try and put it out. Jesus wants us to be right where he is. And you know what? He wants to be right where you are. He told us in John 14, it's one of the most important promises that he has given to his disciples, that he who loves me, I will love him, I will manifest myself to him, and I will make myself conspicuous to him, and we get to see him over and over and over again. And God has given us countless promises in the Bible that we might seek him with abandonment, confident that he will be found by those who will seek him. He tells us in the Old Testament that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the earth, looking for those whose hearts are towards the Lord. I believe that this house, its heart is towards the Lord. And he has greater things in store for this house than you have experienced even to this date. God reveals himself to those who love him.
David captured the kind of people that we ought to be when he cries out in Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you." It was David's heart of passion that God attracted God to David. It was while Jacob was wrestling with him that God's heart went towards him and he wouldn't let him go until he blessed him. And church, I believe that God turns his face of favor towards those who will demonstrate character while there's no one looking. David first sought God on the backside of a hill with his father's sheep. I believe today, church, that God is inviting his people to go beyond the outer courts of fellowship, the outer courts of experience with him, and to go beyond the first dimension of what we might call intimacy and closeness, and he's inviting us to come deeper. And what David means by when he says, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength," and Isaiah, when he says these words, rather, is that they will wait upon the Lord until they experience the quickening of the Holy Spirit. There are some of us in the house this morning experienced the quickening when that word came to us. When we sang that song again, the breakthrough that you were about to get has come to fruition. There are some of us, church, leaving here today different from the way we walked in because of the breakthrough we waited, the quickening of God's presence in our life. When we go beyond the outer courts and enter into the holy place of waiting, when we go, church, beyond a prayer life of requests and lists of needs, when we wait upon him until he quickens us, when you encounter his presence, it's no longer about you, but it's about him. But you know the incredible thing is, that when we go from the outer courts of experience of intimacy to the inner courts, to the holy place, you know what happens, church? You begin to get your strength restored. You begin to have your spirit renewed, and your inner man is strengthened, and your discernment returns, and you become aware of his wonderful presence. And when we wait until Jesus becomes real to us, we experience him on a whole other level, the privilege of intimacy. The privilege of intimacy that Christians have with God. Church, we are punching way above our weight. We seek him. Like Isaiah, who says in chapter 26, verse 8, "We wait for you, your name and renown are the desire of our hearts, and my soul yearns for you in the night, and in the morning my spirit longs for you." Hallelujah. And when there is a church, when there are men, when there are women, when there are children who set up what you might call an ambush for God, people who will pursue God, who will push past at any price, we say price, but really it's a privilege, that will push past where they've been and come from the outer courts to the inner courts, then we will experience intimacy with God on a whole other level. Hallelujah. We'll be like the woman in Matthew 12 who pushes past the crowd because she knew that one touch from the king changes everything. Church, you don't experience that in the outer courts. You don't experience a touch just by giving him your request. But when we wait, when we linger in his presence, old Pentecostals called it tarrying. Come on, there's a few old-time Pentecostals in here. Hallelujah. When we tarry in his presence, and the quickening of his Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are changed because he loves you. Hallelujah. Anybody getting a wee bit excited? I'm nearly finished. I'm coming into land. The thing says I've got 37 seconds. Sam said, Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord and he turned and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet upon the rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Hallelujah! Where? In the inner courts. In the holy place. Oh boy. The privilege of intimacy is available to all of us if we'll seek it. But I know that the time is gone, but I cannot leave you just coming out of the slimy pit. Perhaps if the band may want to come back up. We'll be finished in the next half an hour. I cannot leave you just coming out of the slimy pit. For you see, church, there's not just the outer courts and there's not just the inner courts. We go past the asking and the seeking, but then we come to the knocking. And we come to the Holy of Holies. In the asking realm, things get requested. In the seeking realm, things get delivered. In the knocking realm, Psalm 91 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And John 15 talks about us abiding in Him, remaining in Him. And the third dimension of intimacy isn't about us getting something, it's about sitting with Him. Some of you men might remember sitting on the picnic rug with your better half. And how it wasn't always about what you said, but just to be in her presence. Ladies, you may actually have felt the same thing about sitting next to the guy on the picnic mat. But church, to sit in the presence of God is far, 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 far greater than that. And you and I have the privilege, if we will push past the outer courts, go through the inner courts into the Holy of Holies, we get to sit with Him in heavenly places. Hallelujah! Jesus says we will come in and sup with Him, such precious fellowship. D.L. Moody's experience of this, he records that he began to receive things that he hadn't even asked for. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. I believe, church, that in the third dimension of intimacy, the treasures are beyond description. And we are living in an hour when God's glory is being revealed in greater measure and the outpourings of His Holy Spirit all over the world. And there is no limit, church, to what's possible if one person, one church, one city, one nation can experience of God's presence. The Bible points to what has been made available to us. But how much has never been defined? It's limitless. There are no boundaries. There are no restrictions. And while the glory of God in its fullness may wipe us out, it simply means heaven. There are measures of His presence that God has made available for you and I for such a time as this. David says, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. I pursue you whatever the cost. Jacob wrestled with him and he wouldn't let him go until he blessed him. What about you? And what about me?
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.